Behind Closed Doors, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Tipper, read by Tasmi, part 3 of the I Sometimes Wonder series. Summary. It's only been a little over 5 weeks since Rodney almost died, and then he goes and does this. Whether it's his fault or not, John does not take it well, and it most certainly messes with his whole plan to ignore how he feels. John was very good at ignoring things. He could ignore problems and feelings and even trauma, and he was really quite proud of that skill. He had, after all, been doing it most of his life. His mother, for example, he didn't even think about her anymore. His father, effectively resolved by his staying as far away as possible from the man, like going to war zones, Antarctica, and eventually a whole other galaxy. Dex, Mitch, Holland, and the others he'd lost were stuck in a corner of his mind that, barring some rudely invasive fog-like aliens, stayed well stuck. Sumner, Ford, Elizabeth. God, Elizabeth. No. He pushed her, them, all down, backed away, and closed that door. There. So realizing he had briefly, wondered what it would be like to kiss a friend who just so happened to also be male and one of his best friends, was dating someone else, and had briefly died in front of him. Well, that was easy. Push shit down, back away, and close the door. Because what good would it do to think about it? Lauren, now that was something he could think about it. Sure, that might largely be because she was conveniently not here. But he could dream of her. Think of her, let her sexy, bossy, smirking face wander into his dreams and not have to worry about what it meant. So he did. He sat by his window, Tolstoy loose in his lap, thinking about her face. It was a beautiful face. And that low-cut shirt, which she had to know was ridiculously impractical, but definitely effective at disarming men like him. And it had. He'd fallen for that shirt. The hair. The leather. She looked very good in leather. And she knew it. She wielded it like a tool and a damn effective one. And he knew they had something. Every time they met, a spark that he felt all the way down. That was good. That was easy. That way led to nothing deeper than flirtation and perhaps, someday, meaningless sex. What was even better? He never saw her. It meant he never had to worry about what side of the bed she liked to sleep on, what her favorite foods were, what her dreams were. He could just hit on the sparky, fiery woman he would never really know and never have to worry about it going deeper than that. Because deeper? Deeper was bad. Deeper could reveal doors shut away inside of him that should never, ever be opened. And she wasn't dating someone else. Not that it mattered who Rodney was dating, because he was resolutely, absolutely, not thinking about Rodney like that. Ever. Colonel Shepard, this is the control room. Are you free? He sighed. Technically, it was his scheduled time off, but it was Amelia, and she likely wasn't just radioing him on a whim. He tapped his radio. Shepard here, what do you need? We've lost Dr. McKay, sir. John frowned. I'm sorry? He was supposed to be visiting New Athos to help them with their new harvester, but he apparently never arrived. Shepard pressed his lips together thinly. Who was with him? He went by himself, sir. Shepard ran a hand down his face. Of course he did. I'll be right there. Wasn't he still supposed to be recovering? Bed rest or something? John crossed his arms and leaned on the wall in Woolsey's office, trying not to show too much concern. McKay was just his teammate. Ronan, sitting on one of the big chairs, turned to look at him with a strange look. He was released 2 weeks ago, Taylor said, also looking surprised. Did you not know? John actually hadn't known that. Had it been that long since he talked to McKay? He feigned a smile. Of course I knew. I mean, resting in his room, not heading out on missions, he shrugged. I thought he was supposed to be resting for a while. Ronan's eyes narrowed slightly, but Keller cleared her throat. He is, but he's well enough to visit New Athos, she said. She wasn't hiding her concern. It bled through every word she said. It's been almost 4 weeks since the injuries he sustained on MX-8221. She looked down at her notes. He's actually been recovering very well. Better than I expected, due to the benefits of the CFB. It accelerated the healing process. CFB? Amelia asked. Somewhere along the way, Amelia had been promoted from gate technician to Woolsey's adjutant. She now sat in on his meetings. Shepherd couldn't fault the idea. Elizabeth had had Grodin, then hadn't had the heart to replace him after they'd lost him. Carter hadn't used anyone, though. Frankly, she hadn't been much of a delegator. For Woolsey, however, having an adjutant just made sense. Oh, Keller blushed slightly. CFB is what we've been calling that miracle drug they found on that planet. It's easier than saying its full name based on its chemical properties, especially when we're still not sure how they actually succeeded in putting it together. So for now, we're calling it CFB for Chemical Field Bandage, she shrugged. Thanks, Amelia said, typing that into her notes. But why did he go alone? Shepard asked then, looking at Woolsey. This wasn't a mission, Woolsey said, looking slightly miffed. He was just going for a visit and to help out. He was supposed to be met on the other side of the wormhole by Kanan, Tayla said. She had her baby on her lap. Torn was creeping in on 2 years old, but still slept like a baby during the day. Apparently, though, not at night, to Tayla's endless frustration. But Kanan tells me he never came through. So what happened? Shepard asked. Sent to another time, like I was? No sign of any solar flares yet in the vicinity, Vasilinka said, standing next to Amelia. At least not that we know of. We've been looking for anomalies like that all morning. He shook his head. We just don't know yet. Well, there has to be something, Shepard stressed. Doesn't there? Yes, Zelinka agreed. As I said, we just don't know what. We have had some issues with the sensors lately. Glitches. So it might be related to that. Glitches? Woolsey said, looking instantly annoyed. You haven't mentioned this before. What sort of glitches? As Zelinka started rattling on about something technical, admitting that some of the new Earth technology, namely the new computers, had been harder to interface, John frowned deeply and turned slightly so he could look through the windows down into the gate room. McKay had walked into the wormhole and didn't come out. Didn't mean he was dead or harmed, just missing. So why was he starting to feel so sick? He was worried. For a friend. A good friend. One of his best friends. That was all. He tuned back in when Woolsey's angry voice came to the fore. Dr. McKay considers you a computer expert, and supposedly the technicians here, Woolsey looked at Amelia, who wisely kept her head down, are all experts in computer maintenance, development, and diagnostics, so excuse me for not having patience for learning that you're having issues with the latest Windows OS, and you tell me this started over a week ago. Zelinka was blushing. We thought we would have fixed it, but not good enough. I would not have been blithely sending people through the Stargate had I known our sensors, specifically in place to alert us to solar anomalies, were glitching. Are you really arguing about this right now? Ronan asked gruffly. McKay is missing. Yes, Woolsey snapped. I happen to think... Tayla cleared her throat, interrupting him and standing with her baby in her arms. In a rather fascinating way, this always made everyone much more deferential to her when she spoke. Even Woolsey. As she raised her chin, everyone in the room gave her their full attention. I do not disagree with your position, Mr. Woolsey, she said, sounding more like she was in charge than he was. Damn, she didn't know how to turn on the queen these days, John mused. But I wonder if we should be focusing more on finding out what happened to Rodney before assigning blame as to why, and perhaps suggesting that no one use the gate until such time as these glitches are resolved. Yes, yes, of course, Woolsey said, waving a hand. Finding out where Dr. McKay has gone is the priority. But, he glared at Zelenka, I want these glitches fixed. ASAP. Zelenka nodded quickly. Of course, of course. And what do we do in the meantime? Ronan asked. It was a good question. If Woolsey did as Taylor suggested, they were stuck either in the city or only visiting the mainland for a while. I believe you have your assignments, training, and otherwise, Woolsey said, with a slight sniff. Do those. John's gaze had shifted across each of them as they spoke, and at Woolsey's response to Ronan, the big guy looked up at him as if expecting to hear something different. But John had nothing. He had nothing to say, nothing to suggest, nothing he could do. For now, Rodney was gone. Life would move on. It would be fine. He would be fine. But what if he never comes back? He didn't know where the question came from, what traitorous part of his mind asked it, but something inside his chest wrenched sideways. He twisted his hands into fists, pressing his nails into his palm as hard as he could to avoid showing what he was feeling. Across the room, Keller was looking at him, her gaze strangely intent. He met her eyes for only a moment because she instantly turned away, her cheeks flushing. Woolsey dismissed them then, and she took off like a shot, like she couldn't be there with them, or maybe just him, anymore. Strangely, he found himself unsurprised to hear someone hit the chime on his door not long after he returned back to his quarters. He hadn't even taken his shoes off. He was just sitting there, waiting. Come in, he called. Equally not surprising, the person was Ronan. It was a 50-50 chance, and he'd seen more of Ronan lately. His friends walked in, let the door close behind him, and crossed his enormous arms across his equally enormous chest. Then he simply glowered. John studied him for a moment to demonstrate that he wasn't the least bit intimidated. Frankly, he knew Ronan too well for his usual glower to work, and then stood up with a smile. What's up, buddy? McKay broke up with Keller. John blinked. What? He thought Ronan was here to admonish him for not doing more about McKay. I know, Ronan said. I don't get it either, but she's been moping around for weeks without telling anyone. It apparently happened right after you guys came back from the planet of assholes. It was a good name. Better than the planet where Rodney briefly died. John shrugged and desperately tried to crush the confusing part of him that was happy about this news. That sucks, I guess. She said you would know why. Me? John kept his face as neutral as he could. Why would I know? She didn't say. Probably because you're his best friend, least in his mind. Plus, you were there. John looked down. Yes, he'd been there. Ronan's gaze narrowed down to slits. You do know. No, John said quickly. I don't. Ronan's look was incredulous. John frowned, lifting his chin up. I said, I don't know. He thought back quickly, then shrugged. He did say something about how it wasn't the same between them since we got back to Pegasus. But you know me, I don't really delve when people say stuff like that to me. Delve? Yeah, delve. I don't delve. Ronan tilted his head, looking thoughtful now. No, I guess you don't. He arched an eyebrow. Why is that? John frowned. Look, that's all I know. Ronan stared at him for a long moment, long enough that it began to get uncomfortable. Seriously, John said, you're creeping me out, big guy. Last time you and I talked about Keller and McKay, it lasted 5 seconds because you answered my query with, and I quote, who cares? He made air quotes with his fingers. So why do you care? I said that because I liked Keller then, and I was jealous. I didn't want to talk about her and him together. He delivered it very matter-of-factly, and John's mouth formed the letter O. Ronan's eyes narrowed. I told you I liked her, he said irritably. You did? Yeah. Oh. And wasn't that embarrassing? He really needed to listen more. Do you like her? Ronan asked then. John felt his eyes go wide, and he actually had to laugh. Are you kidding? He shook his head. No, she's not even remotely my type. Why? Ronan smiled then, one of his deadly little smiles that suggested he knew something you didn't. Look, John said, because this felt like it was getting out of hand. McKay breaking up with Keller has nothing to do with me. You're so worried. Go talk to her again. It's funny, Ronan tilted his head. You don't just avoid delving in your friends' lives. You avoid all of it, don't you? Even your own. I don't know what you're talking about. When I was alone, I pretended it didn't matter. I figured this was my life now, and I couldn't change it. Then you, Taylor, and Carson changed all that. You gave me a new life. It gave me all of you. Even McKay. You're my people now. John smirked, remembering saying that to Rodney in the cell. Ha! Confirmation. And that was good, Ronan continued. But it's better if there's more. He shrugged. Taylor, she's got torn. And her life is more. And I'm with Amelia now. She's hot, smart, and wild in bed. Seriously, she's super bendy. John winced. TMI, buddy. I'm saying she's my more. And it's better. Life is better. Right. Sure. Good for you. I really don't know where this is going. Yeah, you do. No, I really don't. Even McKay. John flinched. No. He figured out that you're that for him, didn't he? When you and he were on that planet. That's why he broke up with Keller. You're his more. No, John said quickly. No, not at all. Don't be ridiculous. McKay doesn't... Not me. I'm the wrong gender, for one thing, and I'm not blonde. Is that why you've been avoiding him so much? Ronan, you've been avoiding him. That's why you didn't know he'd been discharged. But your face today, after Woolsey dismissed us and you didn't stop him, you were thinking about what it might mean if he didn't come back, weren't you? Ronan, I didn't get it then, but I think Keller did, because she feels the same. But he's not with her anymore. Taylor and I went to see her, as friends, and she was weird about it, saying they'd broken up, said we should talk to you. And so Taylor stayed with her while I came here to talk to you, and... Damn, Shepard. You're misreading the situation. I don't think so. I'm not into McKay, Ronan. Ronan shrugged. He's your type, though, isn't he? He's the opposite of Keller. More like that Laren chick you described, or your ex-wife, who... Look, John said, crossing his arms. You are way, way off base here. We're not as free as your people when it comes to that sort of thing. And last I checked, you're not exactly qualified to be talking about this stuff, so it makes sense why you're so very wrong about... What if he's dead? He stopped breathing. John couldn't help it. The words created a black hole in his chest, a sucking wound that he couldn't bite, and suddenly he couldn't breathe. He felt Ronan grabbing his arm then, helping him sit down on the bed. I didn't mean it, Ronan said, his worried voice sounding oddly far away. He's going to be fine. He's just missing. I'm sorry. I didn't think you'd react like this. I figured you'd just get angry, but shit. Yeah, shit. Totally shit. What the goddamned hell was happening to him? You with me? He was breathing again. Not sure when it happened, but he was. Sorry, buddy, Ronan said, petting his shoulder. He was sitting next to him on the bed, tipping it rather ridiculously toward the floor due to their combined weight. I didn't know it was like that. It's... John swallowed. It's not. Right. It's not, John snapped. I don't... It's just not. You should talk to him when he gets back. Butt out, Ronan. Ronan's lips pursed, and then he nodded. A moment later, he was on his feet. It's not healthy, Shepard. I don't know why you're like this, but it's not good. I'm fine, John snarled. Ronan frowned. Fine, he grunted. Be that way. And without another word, he strode swiftly the door and out the room, leaving John simply breathing in his wake. What the fuck? John closed his eyes and pressed his hands to his burning chest. What the fuck?
Solar flare, Selinka said, looking embarrassed a few hours later. Confirmed this time. John had his back to the room because he didn't want to look anyone in the face right now or to let them see his face. Instead, he watched as Woolsey nodded in the reflection and Amelia took more notes. Keller wasn't there. Do we know to where? I mean, when he was sent? Tayla asked. Not yet, Selinka replied. We started doing the math based on what we know, but this science, it's a little... Unsettled, Dr. Simpson put in. Even if we do work out all the math, figure out the approximate time frame, there's no guarantee we can do anything to get him back. A solar flare once sent Colonel Shepard thousands of years into the future, Selinka said, gesturing at John's back. And even then, it took Rodney almost 25 years of his life to calculate the exact time and place of both his arrival and how we get to him. 25 years. He had looked so lonely when John saw his hologram. Sure, he'd looked old, but mostly Rodney had just looked so lonely in that ugly sweater. Was he lonely now? Was he trapped in some terrible future with the sun fading into a red giant and the sands creeping up the windows? And this time he had no way to get home because no one here would do what Rodney had done for John. Not even John. Because he didn't know how. Though maybe he could learn? Well, Woolsey said, sighing heavily, do what you can, even if you can just calculate a possible range or window. It might help us. I don't think you understand, Selinka said. Even with the city to help us, the amount of time we need to calculate all the variables into... He's in the future, John said. He turned around. Does that help? Selinka frowned. How do you know? Because if he went to the past, he'd have found a way to leave us a message, or we'd have found him in one of those stasis pods, or something else. He grimaced. You assumed that he was sent back to this planet. You must remember that there was no Stargate on this planet in the past, Selinka said, frowning. That has not happened before. We only have theories on what would mean if... Let's not go there, Woolsey said, for once sensing the tension in the room from McKay's team. He's in the future. Regardless, Selinka shook his head. Simpson is right. It does not change the fact that we likely cannot get him back.
What? John snapped, slamming a hand against the window frame. Of course you can. He got me back. John's right, Taylor said snippily. He would not say such things if it was you that was lost. Selinka's face flushed. I know that. Then what? Shepard began. You forget that his actions were born of an alternate timeline, Selinka snapped, and it only came about because he gave up his whole life to save you. Is that what you expect us to do? He was alone, Shepard said. You're not. That does not help. Why not? Ronan asked. Because of how hard this is to figure out. This requires knowledge I do not have, and he did. I am not him. None of us are him. We are not gods. We can only do what we can do.
Did you just call McKay a god? Ronan asked, utterly deadpan.
All he's saying, Simpson said, quickly resting a hand on Zelinka's leg to calm him, is that this isn't going to be quick or easy. It will take time, potentially a lot of time, and you know how difficult that can be to find out here.
I'm not just saying that, Selinka said peevishly, pulling his leg away. They need to understand that it is all a long shot. He looked at Woolsey, then at the others, one at a time, as he said, You have to understand how small the likelihood is that we will ever get him back. We will try, but it will almost certainly never happen.
John's chest had started to hurt. He rubbed at it and turned around again to stare out the window.
Again, Woolsey said, his voice low, strong, and steady. Let's not go there just yet. I want everyone working on this who isn't working on a critical system. Yes, Dr. McKay spent years solving the problem that returned Colonel Shepherd to us. But he was alone, and he wasn't working the incredible wealth of knowledge and computer power that this city has. You do. Use it. For the first time, Shepherd really, really liked Woolsey. Zelenka sighed heavily. I am obviously not making this clear. Just do what he says, Shepherd ordered. I love him too, Zelenka yelled, and it was such a strange moment that John almost jumped. I want him back too, but he would not want us to kill ourselves. Radek, Taylor said firmly, stop. We understand. It was at that moment that John realized that Zelenka actually had tears in his eyes. As they watched, the scientist quickly wiped at his face, clearly embarrassed. Simpson had her lips pressed together firmly. She stood up, taking Zelenka's wrist so he stood up with her. We will get right on it, Mr. Woolsey, she assured. 1 week, John heard himself echo weakly. He hadn't meant to. It just came out. He ignored Ronan's knowing look. That will be fine, Woolsey replied. John stared at him, feeling oddly betrayed. The meeting broke up after that, and he felt Taylor's hand on his bicep as they left. She held it tightly. Ronan stayed behind. After a while, her hand slipped to his, and he didn't let go. He didn't notice until they were almost all the way back to his quarters that they stayed with him the whole time. Right, that was enough. He shook his hand free. I'm good, he said shortly. You heard them. It is what it is. We either get him back or we don't. It'll just take time. Was his voice breaking? He couldn't quite tell. Everything felt strangely unconnected. Taylor reached up and touched his face, her smile soft. Ronan patted his shoulder. And then they left, leaving him standing alone before the door to his quarters. We have an unscheduled off-world activation, Amelia's voice called through the radio. Shepherd was on his feet instantly, pulling on clothes as he tried to blink awake the nightmares he'd been having. It had been almost a month since Rodney went missing, and he knew he wasn't sleeping well, or eating well, or functioning all that well. He found he just couldn't shove this one down as easily as before. The door just would not shut. And the nightmares flowed through it incessantly. He was panting by the time he got up to the control tower, more than he should have been, and Woolsey gave a disgruntled look at his appearance. The expedition leader, of course, looked impeccable, even if it was the middle of the night. Chuck was on duty, and he was the one who called out, Dr. McKay's IDC? In a loud, clear voice before anyone could even ask who might be dialing in. That got John running down to the gate, taking the stairs down two at a time, not caring how foolish that was. He could be running headlong into a trap set by... And then Rodney popped out of the wormhole? A massive grin on his face, not looking any older, or really worse for wear. At most, he looked a little bedraggled and a touch thin. Hey, he called out, waving a hand jovially. You guys miss me? John staggered to a halt, just a foot away from him, shaking. Rodney was staring up at him, still grinning and looking very pleased with himself. Then Taylor and Ronan were there. And it was Ronan who enveloped Rodney into a massive bear hug, lifting him off the ground. Rodney gasped as the air was clearly pushed out of his lungs. And then Taylor grabbed him next, drew him to her, and lowered her head with a goofy smile, but clearly trying to be respectful despite his manic nature. He lowered his head and touched it to hers. Then he pulled back, laughing, and looked at John, clearly waiting for him to say, something. Except John had nothing to say. Or at least nothing good. Dr. McKay, Woolsey said, descending the gate room stairs in a more dignified manner as the wormhole closed down in the background. I see you found your way back. Well, I am a genius after all, Ronnie said, still grinning like a loon. Did you doubt I couldn't? And in the moment, John almost hit him. In fact, the urge was so strong, he just said, "It's good you're back. I got a thing." And then he took off. Turns out they had all gotten it wrong. McKay had gone into the past, and a long way into the past, as it turned out. The wormhole connected itself to the same gate, even if it was on a whole different planet. And McKay had stumbled into a thriving Atlantis chalk full of ancients before their war with the Wraith. He'd not gotten very far into explaining what had happened, so McKay said, before they were rapidly ushering him into a stasis chamber with his rolling pack and telling him they'd figure it out, and then, boom, time passed. When he was released, apparently a few years had gone by, but by then the ancients had worked out how to send him back. They had actually developed an artificial event that could mimic a solar flare. "Of course they did," Zelenka had grumbled. Had done the math, and were sure they could send him back within minutes of the time he disappeared. Well, the ancients in their arrogance hadn't bothered to let McKay explain that certain facts, like that Atlantis had moved, and that the new planet's sun was much, much older than their current sun, and that there had already been some time travel in the galaxy that might have messed with a few things in the space-time continuum. But being paranoid about contaminating their future, they just shoved him back through the gate before he could tell them about any of that, and before he could tell them the most important thing that they didn't know about the Wraith, that they'd steal ZPMs and make a Wraith, making facility that would quickly overwhelm Pegasus like an infestation of aphids destroying a rose garden. Oh well, they were ancients, and they sucked. So when he came out on the other side, he was still in Atlantis. But this time, somewhere between when Atlantis had been submerged and the ancients had left and when the expedition had arrived. Luckily, this time he knew what he was looking for. And though it took him a minute, about a month to be honest, he compiled the information on how the ancients had artificially created a solar flare, added to it all the mathematical variables he knew would get him home, and Bob's your uncle. He said joyfully, looking around at the senior staff in the conference room. John had returned to the conference room the next morning to hear all this, because he knew he had to, and because Woolsey rather dryly ordered him to. Still, he had to hold himself back from punching McKay in the face every time he threw John that smug, knowing, happy look of his. How dare he be so... Whatever. He pushed it down, backed away, and closed that door. When he left this time, McKay was happily bonding with Zelenka and Simpson over the information that he pulled up from the database, explaining how it all worked. It was good, because John had to go to the gym and beat the hell out of one of the punching bags. Ronan and Taylor wisely left him alone this time. When the door chime echoed, he knew exactly who it was. For a moment, he didn't say anything. The door chimed again. Sucking in a deep breath, John stood and walked to the door. After one more moment's hesitation, he opened it. McKay was reaching for the chime again, caught mid-motion. Upon seeing John, he flashed a smile. "Hi," he said exuberantly, as if everything were fine, and he hadn't been missing for a month. Killing John's soul slowly with every minute that had passed. "What do you want?" McKay's half-smile fled, like a deer released from headlights. He said, he frowned then. "I don't know. I thought maybe you'd like to hang out. I have some downtime," Woolsey said, "which is good, because I really didn't have a lot of food where I was stuck, except what I had in my pack, and I'm kinda... so go eat." Yes, well, Jennifer wants me to ease back into food slowly, so she has me on this diet, and then go do that. McKay frowned then. For the first time, Shepard noticed he did look a little gaunt. The frown accentuated his cheekbones. Why was he noticing his cheekbones? He shook it off. "You're still here," he said coldly, when McKay hadn't moved. "What is your problem?" McKay snapped. "I don't have a problem." Oh, right. I come back being gone for weeks, and you're acting totally normal. Is that it? You're not trying to pick a fight or throw me out or something, because that's what it feels like. You should go. Why? McKay said. Why should I go? John shook his head. He didn't have the bandwidth for this. He sliced his hand over the control to shut the door in McKay's face. McKay shoved his hand in, and frustratingly, Atlantis responded by not cutting his hand off. Instead, she opened the door back up. Traitor, John muttered to the air. He crossed his arm and glared at McKay. You're not invited in. Go away. No, not until you talk to me. What did I do to make you so mad? John said nothing, just continued to glare. He was not having this conversation. You're not going to answer. Oh, that's mature. McKay threw his hands up. I know you've been weird ever since that whole me almost dying thing, but I thought we were at least still friends. I've been gone for a month. I could have been stuck somewhere I might never have come back home from, like the future. And what? You no longer care? What if I died? For real this time? He had died last time. In front of John. No, push that away. McKay crossed his arms. Fine. You don't want to talk, then you have to listen. Because if this is about the whole my wanting to kiss you thing, I assure you that's no longer something I care about. Because it's been made clear to me by you that not only does the idea clearly repulse you, but you'd rather I be lost forever than we even remain friends. Well, fine. That's what you want. That's what you get. He lifted his chin. See you around, Colonel Shepard. And with that, McKay strode away, head still raised, shoulders back, hands gripped into fists. Shepard closed the door. He closed his eyes. When his legs gave away, he barely felt the sting as he collapsed onto his hands and knees. This was supposed to be easy. Maybe McKay, Rodney, was right. A part of him hadn't wanted for him to return. And what the hell is wrong with him that he would even think that way? Ronan had told him it wasn't healthy. For the first time, he was beginning to think he might be right.
A few hours later, he was standing in front of a door in a part of the residential area he didn't often visit. It was mostly occupied by new personnel, but there were some residents that had been here longer. Ones that, for reasons, had simply never moved to nicer quarters. Rubbing his hands on his pants, he drew in a deep breath and then passed a hand over the chime. Noises came from within. Someone moving around? He realized, if he ran now, there was a chance she would never know he was. The door swished open, and Keller stood there in jeans and a sweatshirt. She looked exhausted. Oh, she said, it's you. He felt his lips curve into an involuntary smile, something he often did when uncomfortable, and she responded with a narrowed look. Yeah, he said. It's me. Can I come in? She hesitated, her jaw shifting as she were grinding her teeth a little. Then she shrugged and backed up, indicating he could come in with a wave of her hand. She turned then, heading over to her bed, and sat down, curling her legs up so she was sitting with her arms wrapped around them. She didn't quite look at him. What can I do for you, Colonel? She asked softly. He looked down, then at the wall, then at a point just above her head. I wanted to clear some things up. She glanced at him, then away. About McKay, he added. She closed her eyes, then opened them again, but she nodded. Go ahead. I'm not sure what he told you about, but it's not me. Her brow furrowed, and she finally looked at him. Her gaze was so intent, he couldn't not meet her eyes. What? It's not me. I didn't tell him to break up with you. Her expression cleared immediately. Oh, she said. I know. Good. And I think that... But he broke up with me because of you, she said, a little dazedly. He frowned. Yeah, well, I... But you're too scared to be with him. I know, Taylor told me. She looked up. I don't really understand that, you know. He's wonderful. When you're with him, he's like a light that never stops burning. He loves unconditionally. Did you know that? He never asked me for anything or wanted anything. He was just always there for me. She shrugged. He still is, even though we're not together. That's who he is. She looked away. So I don't really know why you're scared. John felt frozen in that moment, like someone had shoved him in a stasis chamber, but he could still hear everything that was happening. Not that it matters, Keller continued, looking down at her feet now. I'm moving on. She smiled softly. I mean, loving someone who loves someone else more isn't healthy for anyone, is it? She shrugged. I just hope I find someone who feels about me the way he feels about you. John closed his eyes then, forcing himself back into focus, and took a deep breath. Keller, he said, look, that's the thing. He told me that earlier tonight. Whatever infatuation he had with me, it's over. And I never felt that way about him. I just wanted to tell you and to apologize for his confusion, I guess. And the fact that I didn't nip it in the bud before, this whole thing has been a mess, and... He trailed off because she was standing up now, staring at him. Right, he said, because her gaze was unnerving. That's all. So if you wanted to see him, I think it'd be okay now. Like I said, I just wanted to apologize for... What did you do? She said. Her voice oddly hoarse. What? To Rodney. What did you do? This time she lowered her voice to something more menacing. He suddenly realized she was angry. I didn't do anything, he protested. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This was all just... Oh, my God. She pressed a hand to her lips. He just came back from being all alone and terrified. And what the hell did you do? Make that very angry. He'd never heard her swear before. I didn't do anything. You, Colonel John Shepherd, are an idiot, she snarled. How are you the bravest man I know when it comes to finding the Wraith and keeping us alive, yet also the most terrified when it comes to talking to the people you love? He frowned. Now hold on. No, she snapped, stepping forward, and he quickly stepped back. No, you listen to me. Your emotions are all over your face, even if you refuse to say them out loud or acknowledge them in your head. You think I haven't seen what you've been through this last month? What you were like after Rodney almost died on that planet? What you were like when he had that parasite in his head? Or your reaction when you found he'd survived Michael's booby trap? And you think I haven't seen how he is when the same happens to you? Keller, don't you Keller me. I see you so clearly right now. It's like you're made of glass. Despite everything that the two of you have been through, you are still scared. Why? What is so scary about loving someone? He drew in a deep breath. I am not in love with him. She continued to stare. Then she started to laugh as a tear ran down her face. You know what? She said then. I don't think this is great for me right now. Can we not? He looked down. Look, Keller continued. I don't really know what this was, but I am sure you meant well. She shrugged. But if you came to me because you thought... Her brow furrowed. Oh, no, wait. I do get it. She looked up. You said if I wanted to see him.
Oh, John, I don't know what you're saying. She huffed a laugh, wiping another tear away.
You've hurt him. You feel guilty. And so you've come to me because you thought that by saying what you said, I'd magically back with Rodney again, and everything would be fixed. Is that it? Problem is, that's not how this works. And he knows that too. No, this is between you and him. You have to fix it.
There's nothing to fix, he said gruffly.
Oh, there is. You wouldn't be here otherwise. She shook her head. But I'm sorry. I love him. I do, very much, which is why it can't be me. I'm not the one he wants. It has to be you. It's been you for a long time. She sighed. And for his sake, I hope you do.
Well, this had gone very badly. Backing up to the door, he glanced away. Look, again, I'm sorry for all this, he said, trying to recall why he'd really come. That's the only reason, because I know you got caught up in this mess, and I'm sorry. She just watched him sadly as the door opened and he backed out of it. Just as the door closed, she jumped forward and said,
It's worth the risk. He'd do anything for you.
The door closed fully, and he closed his eyes. For a moment, he thought she might open it again to explain that last statement. But when nothing happened, he sighed. As he walked away, he suspected he knew what she meant, that despite the heartache, the hurt, it had been worth it to be with him. But he didn't want to be with McKay. He did, though, feel guilty about what had happened, and he really did want Rodney to be happy. Jennifer was overreacting. She clearly loved him. They could still get back together. Maybe they just needed time. Time for Rodney to get over whatever this was, and time for him to do the same. Time was something he could give. Eventually, things would go back to normal, and they'd be all right again. Ronan was wrong. He didn't need more than this. He liked the way things were. Things were good. Things were fine. They just needed time. As he walked slowly back to his quarters, a voice in his head warned him that time was something they often didn't have. That same voice also asked if he really was happy with things just being fine. And finally, quietly, it asked why he was so scared of finding out that he wasn't. He took that voice, shoved it down, backed away, and closed that door. The end. Continued in part 4 of I Sometimes Wonder, The Ice Giant.